I thank so many of you. I've been asking prayers for my brother for so many years. And it's 48 years praying for him to come to know Christ. And the only reason I say that is don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. Okay, it's not my message tonight, but I want to talk about the parable of the unjust judge. You know, Jesus said, you know, that the unjust judge will answer and take care of that woman's problem because he just kept nagging him. What do you think it is when you bring prayers before God? He sees that you're serious about it. It's one of those things. My wife, who's the best part of me, has been after me. I'm just giving testimony on this because my brother has been so woe is me with problems with his wife. And I said, I am the wrong person to whine to. Okay, and I'd go to visit him and he'd be crying. And I'd go visit him and he'd be crying. And I'd talk to him about the Lord and he'd change the subject. Well, they thought he'd had a stroke. He went in the hospital. He didn't have a stroke. His heart wasn't working right. He was in there 2 days and they said yesterday morning at 8:00 in the morning, guess what? You're heading to the cath lab. We're putting in a pacemaker. And by 8:30, he was all done. And then I got there, and the blood flow was better and stuff with that. I went from the nursing home to a fast food restaurant to St. Joe's. And I spent 3.5 hours with him. And it's, you know, the difference when someone can smile and know that their sins are forgiven. People don't understand that difference, okay? He wasn't negative. We were rejoicing in what we've had in our lives with our wives and our families. He's talking about grandchildren. And on the weekend, he said, I'm dying. Not now. We talked about what he has to live for, what he needs to do. Okay? And so keep praying for him. Pray for my sister-in-law, Joyce. Again, she's has severe dementia, but she does have lucid moments. And he realized that right now, she sees him, she is sweeter, and they have a sweeter relationship, and they've been married 60 years than they've ever had, because all she sees is his love for her. And he finally saw God's love for him. Ephesians chapter 2. It'll probably be a two-week or two-part message. This is the difference, part one, Joe. The difference, part one. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, that's Howard's favorite word, or favorite phrase, but God who was rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, then at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made, what? Nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There is no more that bitter hatred between. There's no more those bitter feelings between. The enmity has been removed between God and his children. And it came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by what? One Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all of the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Said the title of this message is The Difference. It's a little deeper than sometimes we do on a Wednesday night. I got to break. I can't do it in one night. But you got to remember, God wants you to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He does it. Many times we're warned, be ye not ignorant, brethren. He wants us to know. God wants us to come to him. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, it says, come now, let us what? Reason together. Your salvation is not an emotion. It's not based on emotions. It's based on the truth. Okay? Reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I just read our opening text, and it starts with dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I've heard the salvation testimony of most everyone in here. We have some young ones maybe that don't know Christ. They need to come to him. If you're old enough to understand you're a sinner, you're old enough to need the Savior. It's as plain as simple as that. You know how you want your kids saved at an early age? Show them that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. Okay? I don't mean you beat them down, make them feel bad. I mean you make them feel loved and tell them they can do anything they put their mind to it because they're your child. But they need to know that their rebellion and their anger and their frustrations and their bitterness and their words are sin just like anybody else's. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, in you who hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Yesterday I preached on the three musts of John chapter 3. You must be born again. Jesus must be lifted up. And he must increase and I must decrease. I want to make it plain and simple. I tried to explain it. I told them it's like you must take your medicines. And all you people fight against that. And I know Michael wasn't down there, but I think he liked me saying that. Because sometimes they don't want to take their medicines, all right? But they responded well and stuff with this. And I wanted them to know, there could be brands from the burning, you know. Someone gets saved at 93 years of age. Recently there, you never know. But according to God's word, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. You're called Gentiles by the Jewish people. Okay? That's what it's saying. In the flesh. That in time past you were without Christ. I don't care how religious you are. Something my brother kept hiding in, I had to show him, and it had nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with what have you done with Jesus. He provided a way, but you've got to accept him. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. If we see people more that way, you know what it should cause us to do? One, be more willing to pray for the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. And two, be more willing to tell them in Christian love about their lost condition. You know, that's, you can't get away from that. I'm not going to give the plan of salvation. Then you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. It's talking about those who were saved. Okay? It's talking about living in forgiveness. Okay? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace you saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through what? Faith. And not of your own power. Not of your own ability. Can't get away from it. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If good works aren't coming out of your life, you can be saved, but you're not fulfilling what God saved you for. You don't do good works to earn your salvation, but good works should follow. They should see a difference in us. Unto good works which God hath before ordained, that's God's will, that we should walk in them. You know what we're doing if you're saved? Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're living in forgiveness. You're living in forgiveness. Tonight I'm not going to go any farther, because if you read Ephesians 2, 14 through 22, that's not talking about your forgiveness and your salvation. It's talking about your sanctification. Most Christians, all of us, spend most of our time living in forgiveness, because we make it about us. And we're constantly failing, letting the world tempt us, giving into it, asking God to forgive us, going a little bit farther on, and then asking God to what? To forgive us. And he's faithful and just. I'm not saying you need to be there. If you're not in forgiveness, you're not saved. But you need to know the difference between living in forgiveness and living in deliverance. Tonight, we're going to look at the difference. Okay? God's remedy for your lost condition was Jesus Christ. It's a dual remedy. It's the blood of Jesus Christ for what we have done, right? You take it to the cross. You know what it also is? It's the remedy for who we are as Christians living in forgiveness. The blood is God's commitment to us. You realize that? The blood of Jesus Christ, it says, to believers. Not to the lost. They can confess sin all day long. I had to help my brother understand that. You can confess it all day long and you'll still split hell wide open, because it's not removed. He that standeth before the priest offering oft times the same sacrifices, that can never take away that sin. It's God's commitment. You know what the cross is? It's our commitment to God. Because you have to come to the cross or you can't be saved. It's one way. One of the verses yesterday with the people in the nursing home. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Jesus said, I must be lifted up. He knew the payment and still made the payment. If you don't come to that, you haven't come to Christ. Want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Want to go to hell? Any other way will do. That's the message the world needs to hear. In the book of Acts, it says it's repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. That's the message the apostles in the early church preached. Okay? You come to the cross, you get saved one way. God's blood is applied to you. Don't you know that that blood changes your spiritual DNA? You become part of a new family because of that blood. And God's blood applied to you is the only way of forgiveness. You come to the cross daily. How am I saying the only way of forgiveness? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from part of them? All sin. You're trying to live in forgiveness. You know what we lose sight of? We lose sight of the fact that the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what it means to live in deliverance. Because then you know it's not about me. So tonight we're going to look at living in forgiveness. Next week we'll look at living in deliverance. So if you don't like tonight, come back Wednesday night. Next week. Living in forgiveness, you know what it is? It's about you. God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. God, save me. Please, God, protect me. God, I need you. God, I don't hear you. Please speak to me. God, I want you to answer my prayers. What's the main part of that? Me. Me. That's what it means to live in forgiveness. You're saved. You're born again. You've been made clean. Then you choose to disobey Him. And the disobedience doesn't cause a loss of salvation. It causes a loss of fellowship. There's a separation. You're being disobedient. You should not reward disobedient children. God doesn't. The other day, Derek and I, we went to go grab pizza because that's the way his grandfather provides food for them. When mom and dad aren't around, I said, what do you want? That was Sunday. I got tired. I called New York Pizzeria and Cato 5 times, and no one could pick up the phone. And I wasn't driving there and waiting 25 minutes because I don't have a lot of patience for stuff like that. Maybe I need more. But I said, where else, Derek? And he says, well, it's not the Walmart pizza is not too bad, Papa. We can get through with that. So, okay, let's go. So we went and got the pizza and got something for them to drink and stuff. But while we're doing that, there's this guy standing there with his wife and 2 little kids, and one of them is throwing a hissy fit in the cart. I'm hot! I'm hot! Slap his mother's hand. You got to give me! He's 3.5, 4 years old. And I'm going, oh, let me have your kid for about 1 week. But it's not the kid's problem. The mother was saying, and she's looking at me, and I'm trying not, I can't play poker, people. You can read my face. I get in trouble when I'm intense and people think I'm upset and I'm just concentrating. But it's a turn around and I'm looking and that kid is yelling, it's right there. And I went like this. And she looked at me and she goes, you keep it up, we'll go out to the car. And then Daddy walked up. You know who was spoiling the kid? His buddy. What do you want? I want this. You need to wait. No. You ever think sometimes spiritually we treat God that way? I tell you what, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You can pray all day long. If you haven't got your heart clean before you're praying, the heavens are brass, people. The heavens are brass. You're made clean. You disobey God, it brings separation. There's a loss of fellowship. You know what we find ourselves doing? You need to do this, all right? If you're saved, If you sin, one, you need to know what God calls sin, because a lot of things he calls sin we don't think are that big of a deal. We sin, then we confess it. He puts it under the blood. He separates us from as far as the east is from the west. He throws it behind his back. He throws in the depths of forgiveness or forgetfulness for what we've done. Then we go a little bit longer, and what happens? We put it on a repeat cycle. You know what it is? You get it dirty, wash, rinse, repeat. That's the way Christians live their lives. That's not necessarily what God has for us. Okay? Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have what? Received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be what? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That you're called. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 3, we have to be reminded of this. You know what happens sometimes? You get cleaned up for a while and all of a sudden you think you're better than the lost person. And God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I think it was Dr. Ruckman. Okay, I could be wrong, but I heard this saying. I listened to it back in the day when cassette tapes were the rage. That's how old I am, you know. VHS, beta. Yeah, now if you have a beta, it's a fish you keep in your house and you're feeding the little stuff there and it kills all the other fish. Okay? But it was a case of this thing. And he's talking about if your heart's not right, it doesn't make any difference what you do on the outside. And he goes, you know what? You can put lipstick on a pig, but you know what it still is? It's a pig. You can dress something up. But the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the what? The outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Can't get away from that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 10, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Verse 19. Now we know that the things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Well, preacher, that's talking about lost people. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Wherefore is boasting then is excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. The only reason I say that, you say, well, how does that do with anything to do with saved people? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? It talks of them beginning in Christ Jesus and then coming back under the beggarly elements of the law. Pastor Kinney will tell you, when we work with people, so many people, they get caught and they lose their assurance because they believe they live in a performance Christianity. If I don't perform a certain way and people don't think I'm performing a certain way, then there's no way God can love me. That comes out of too many homes that have been messed up. And you had to perform to be loved, instead of being loved and then pleasing the one who loves you. The one will kill you. It's guilt, guilt, pain, and hurt. The other is liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of. Don't go back under it. When you do, you find yourself in the wash, rinse, sin, wash, rinse cycle continually. And you get caught in your Christianity, and it's forgiveness, it's there, and God wants to forgive you, but He wants you to glorify Him more. And that's found in that deliverance that we'll look at next week. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and we use this in the Romans road of salvation, right? But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we're yet sinners, what? Much more than being now it's talking about who's saved, isn't it? Being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being what? Reconciled, we should be saved by His life. I've never doubted God's love for me. That wasn't an issue for me. There's times that I've looked at and thought about God. Have I pushed it too far? Can you still forgive me? I know I'm your son. But Lord, it's dry. Lord, I want your Spirit to speak to my heart. Lord, I want you to give me that conviction. I want you to give me that discernment. Lord, please. That's why when they point to the sure mercies of David in Psalms 51, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." When you live in forgiveness, you end up losing the joy at times. And man, then your flesh gets in the way. You know what the last words my wife said to me? I knew she was staying home tonight. I mean, I was so excited I couldn't go to sleep after finding out my brother trusted Christ. And so I'm up and I can't go to sleep, and I finally go into bed, and then I finally fall asleep and I start snoring. And I don't snore. Just ask me. My wife does, but I don't snore. And she goes, "Yes, you do." And she goes, "I nudged you and you wouldn't wake up, and you were snoring so loud. You woke me up sometime between 3:30 and 4:15. And I wanted to go over and just reach over and pinch your nose." I'm snoring. And she goes, "I couldn't take it. After 4:30, I got up and I went out to my chair in the sunroom and I started listening to my Bible. And I've been up since 4:15. And she's had something going all day long. So she was too tired. And I said, "Honey, you stay home." She says, "I'll listen." I said, "I'll tell you about the message now, and then you can go to bed." But the last word she said to me before I went out the door, and I think I might have said this in the nursing home yesterday, whenever I'm being friendly with somebody, you know, I like that, and I said, "If we got business and I owe you money, my name is James. But if we're friends, it's Bryant." Okay? She looks at me and she goes, "James, you be nice tonight." I said, "I'm always nice." And she goes, "No, you're not." I have to ask God to help me to have a loving heart. A loving heart. You know, it gets caught. You know, Pastor Christian told me a long time ago, "Bryant," see, I didn't owe him money. Bryant, God's called you into the ministry, and you're going to find out that people are going to have a different standard for you than they have for themselves. And he says, others can, you cannot. And when you do, you're hurting them. And we fail all the time. Fail all the time. How many of you allow the flesh to take control of you? How many times in a week? How many times in a day? A word that shouldn't have been sought or said. A thought that shouldn't have been dwelt upon. Somebody that frustrated you. Somebody who didn't know both sides of it. And I have to ask God all the time, Father, please forgive me. Help me to love them as you love them. Help me to see them as you see them. That should be the prayer of every believer. Every believer. You know what sin is? It's disobedience to God. You know what sin and disobedience to God leads to? Guilt. And guilt not given to God leads to separation. I end up counseling with people, trying to keep them from coming apart many times, believers. We don't live in guilt. We either blame it on someone else. We try to justify it, or we try to run from it. And God just says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? It brings about separation, and that separation makes it so we don't feel as close to our Savior. Makes it harder to read your Bible then, you know that? It makes it harder to read your Bible when your heart's not right with him. You know what sin does for the believer? It gives Satan ground to accuse you. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's the tempter. He's the father of lies. He's the god of this world. And he'll accuse you. It provides a door for Satan to attack you in, and Satan uses that guilt to cause you to draw back. You know, there's people who have left this church because of that. You try to help them see, just give it to God, get it right, and then go on. See, that's what it means living in forgiveness. Revelation 12:10, Satan's called the accuser of the brethren. He doesn't have to accuse the lost. He's an accuser of the brethren. For sake of time, we won't turn there. I'm running a little bit long. I understand that. But you know the story of the prodigal son. He took his stuff, riotous living. He came to himself. You know what he said? I'm going to return unto my father. And you know what he's going to tell him? Father, I have sinned. He was so afraid to return because he was ashamed coming before his father. And what was the father waiting to do? To restore in love. He says, my son who was dead is now alive. When we live in forgiveness alone and we don't look at deliverance, we get caught in that cycle and Satan will make it about us. Turn to 1 John chapter 1 and then we're closing tonight. 1 John 1. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? With one another, not just with God, but with each other. The separation comes down. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. The thing that I use to make my choices, that I might not sin against thee. There is a difference. Every believer has to live in forgiveness. But God wants us to grow into the place where we can live in deliverance. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Good night and God bless.